Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
Okay, we're here with Joyce Sonata and Happy Judy. Oh, who just got out of bed and she's cranky as shit.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to help for sure.
What do you mean? Make you happy?
No.
Well, you got to call people out on their stuff, Judy. I mean, you know.
You're very good at that, aren't you?
Well, you know, some of us have a natural skill.
Yes, I think I'll start calling you out on your shit.
Okay, go right ahead. What do you got to say? What do you got to say? Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
You're all smoke.
Anywhere, here we are in Jaco, Costa Rica. I have a very good friend with me, Joyce Sonata. She's my neighbor. And a really good friend. We're walking buddies, and we hang out lots. And we have convinced her to come on the podcast.
So, yeah, it took a little convincing over a few nights, you know. But she's very knowledgeable in certain areas. We thought we'd get her here. I've been fighting with her for 2 days.
You know,
trying to convince her that I'm right, but I'm getting nowhere.
No. She's pretty stubborn, as you are.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to hang with you for 2 weeks. It's just been amazing, and it's been great to get to know Rick. I only knew him through the podcast, and now I know the real Rick Brennan.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, so how's that little treat?
It's been great, actually. It's good. It's
because we've been a little combative because you have your point of view, and I must say, since we've had these, I wouldn't call them arguments, they're not arguments, but
discussions.
Well, they're heavy discussions.
Yeah.
That I'm learning. I am starting to grasp a point of view, which is typical for me. It takes me a while to bang it through my head. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what I appreciate about getting to know you, because at first it was like, oh my gosh, like you're just, you know, you're like so focused on what your opinion was.
Right.
But after you say, you know, you walked us through the process, you simmer, you like, you think about it, and then it's like, okay, you know, maybe there is some ground where we do agree on. So this will be interesting.
So, Joyce, I know what you do. I know about you, but Rick doesn't really know a lot, and let's tell our listeners. So you were an educator, and then you moved into the wellness, more of the wellness end. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey?
Sure. I'll give you a little snapshot of my history. So I was an educator, teacher, primarily health and physical education at the elementary level for over 20 years. Part of my journey was burning myself out. So after recovering from my burnout, I was part of
I don't mean to interrupt. Can you just explain that a little more, what you mean? You burnt out. What do you mean?
Okay, great. Yeah, good point. I physically, mentally, emotionally burned out. I was no longer able to perform my duties as an educator, had to take a 2-year medical leave. And during that process was able to, I guess, maybe reprioritize my health, my wellness, and slowly come back into education. So from full-time, our daughters were in junior, senior high. So there was more than just the job going on. There was also, you know, mom roles, bench mom on the soccer teams. And so taking that time away, coming back, going part-time, feeling healed, let's call it, and then moving into a full-time position with EverActive Schools.
Wow. Wow. So what is it that you do with that group now?
Okay. So the next part was partway through about year 5, I started to feel those same sensations as, oh no, I'm leaning towards burnout again. And so I thought, okay, I know different. I know better. I have to do better. So part of that next step, that next journey was exploring coaching. And the coaching that I explored through Mount Royal University and have a certificate is integrative health coaching. And from there, I left the organization and started my own coaching/speaking business where I operate today.
Cool. So what type of people would you coach?
Women that are looking to achieve something different, whether it's in the realm of wellness, maybe it is personal, maybe it's in one dimension of wellness. And so my focus is to help them to reach their goals and try and, you know, unlock their potential.
Well, that sounds familiar. I mean, that's obviously something that Judy and I talk about a lot, because obviously we come from a different angle around neurodiversity and all that sort of stuff. It's first understanding what your, I'm going to say issues, but they're not issues, what your differences are, what your strengths are, what your superpowers might be, and how you run with that and be comfortable running with that.
As you know, Rick has decided to start coaching because through the podcast over the last year, we started the podcast because we wanted to help people. Because Rick had done, you know, realized through his journey writing the book of what went on in his life. So he decided that he wanted to do a podcast to, you know, to help people, and because he's walked the, you know, walked the talk. So now he's at the point where, you know, we feel that we need to do more on a personal level.
Yeah, because the coaching that Judy started was that podcast for both of us, Judy, because I know we've talked about, you know, you go and we've had guests and we talk about different subjects. And it's really been, because we talk a ton about self-awareness and self-discovery, right. And has it ever been one? Because, you know, you write a book, you think you know yourself, you're going and you keep climbing that mountain and you're just like, wow, you just keep learning. You keep understanding more and more about yourself. And the more you know about yourself, the more able you are to help yourself grow and succeed.
And in turn, help others.
And in turn, help others.
Rick and Joyce are just going to chat a bit about their different styles of coaching and what they've learned over that time. And we'll see where it takes us. So
cool.
I'm turning it over to you two now.
So I'm going to, Joyce, one thing that that you said was that, you know, the type of coaching you do, it's really tailored towards a specific group of people. And I think that's awesome. And because mine is tailored towards a certain group of people. And if I go back years ago, you know, it was in the business world, there were executive coaches. And it was really to be, let's make an executive out of you, whatever the hell that means in that company. But it was very generalized. And it's so good to see that we're starting to realize that people are different. And regardless of your differences, you can just be as successful, just be as happy, and just be as accomplished if you attack it from the right direction.
Totally agree with you there. Right. And what's the foundation that I need to know? You know, the grow model, you know, set the goals. What's the reality? What are the obstacles or opportunities? And then what will you do now? So I'm sensing with our past discussions is that I have kind of a identifiable approach. And it's just like, okay, here's what I learned. Here's the skills that I need to know, and then take them and make them available to my clients. Right. So does that resonate at all with you?
Well, it does. And I think we've talked about it. I mean, I think there's a foundation in any type of coaching, you know, who are you? What do you do? What do you feel? Blah, blah, blah. Understanding who we're talking to, right? Understanding what your issues are, your concerns are. Oh, I mean, so let's assume the foundational part is done.
Okay.
And I think then we got to go down a certain path. And if I could go backwards for a minute, because we had listened to a little thing on TikTok, and it was about why we learn math and why we learn algebra. And listen, everybody out there, well, maybe mine is 2% of the people go, why the hell do I need to learn algebra or calculus and
totally.
All that sort
yes.
of stuff? And as this very smart guy explained, it's really about not so much about learning algebra, about learning how to learn, how to wire your brain in a certain direction. And I thought it's just a perfect kind of explanation towards neurodiversity or people with some sort of disability. And we use a blind person as an example. Like, why does a blind person's other skills develop? Like, is it just because you can't see and all of a sudden I can touch here better? No, because now their brain is figuring out how to do things differently, how to use those other senses to benefit themselves. And over time, those senses get magnified, become stronger, become superpowers. And that's why I like to look at neurodiversity and atypical, is that as you've gone down that path and you've failed, you start to learn. You start to learn that this is a better way for me to do things. Mm-hmm. And as I do that over and over and year after year, I become very competent at those skills. So that was kind of what we were kind of debated over the last couple of days, is we're all different. Typical, atypical. It's just, what does your focus need to be? where do you need to get your energy from? Where do you find those superpowers? Because they're going to be different from a typical thinker. They're going to be different from all the other atypicals out there because we're all going to have different slices of different things.
Yeah, that individuality. And I think something that was key when we were discussing it earlier was learning to navigate your learning style. Or like you in business, you learned with the assistance of coaches, good coaches
that fit with you,
is how to navigate your situation and your obstacles or your challenges. And so I think that's where that ties into the math.
100%. And where I had coaches that were, like, they're all nice people and they're very skilled, but they just didn't talk to Rick. You know what I mean? They weren't addressing Rick's weirdness. They weren't addressing what I needed to hear. And when I got the right coaches who understood what Rick was about, then it was tremendous, just tremendous, and how much they helped me grow and evolve and helped me look inward and helped me gain confidence and still a little more humility, because I know you're stubborn and all those type of things. And,
that's all great, Rick, but
reel it back in a little bit, you know.
So I'm curious, on that note, what would you identify as some of the skills that these coaches had that were effective with you? Because I know we talked a little bit about debating about our styles of coaching. So what is it that worked for you?
You know what worked for me is that, and I'll talk about Carlos, who was my last coach.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about Carlos.
Yeah, it was that he got me. He saw the success. He saw my ability with my team, because part of his foundational work was go around and talk to everybody on the team, what do you think about Rick? So he knew right away that what Rick is doing is working.
Okay. Yeah.
But Rick's frustrated. He's frustrated with all the other executives because they don't do it his way. And that's where he helped me.
Okay.
Not so much of my ability to get things done, my ability to cope with things, to cope with the bureaucracy, to cope with all the silliness that I would see, and make me understand that not everybody's like you. And they shouldn't be. Everyone's got their personality. Everyone has the things that they focus on. And you, Rick, you need to accept that. And when the movie star executive gets up there, clap. And when the analytical executive comes, give them what they're looking for. And stop sitting there saying, I don't know why they're doing that, which is what I needed at that time. But the best thing he gave me was, we all know you do a good job. Almost acknowledging my ability. So I no longer had to fight that.
Right.
He didn't try to change that side. He tried to make me a more mature executive.
So is this accurate? Is that he could see you? In a literal sense, and how you operate and how you succeeded, and then he was able to support you on your journey.
Yes.
Okay.
But for me, because of all my shit, knowing that he's solidly in my corner meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he really got it.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend any time on that. What the hell could I teach you? And that's a confidence builder.
That's a trust building thing.
And it's almost like I deal with my team. Yeah, I know you can do it. Go do it. I don't know, what are you talking to me for? Go, you know? That just takes me to a different level. And then because now I have that trust and belief in him, forced me to listen to the other side of the conversation.
Whereas before you wouldn't necessarily.
But also they wanted you more to be like them.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yes, 100%. And there's no doubt about that. It was conformed to what we see as a credible executive in this corporation.
Right.
Which means you dress a certain way, you talk a certain way, you explain things in a certain way. And that was hard for me because sometimes it's clams and chili. I know my numbers like the back of my hand, but when it gets in there and it's time to explain them, I might be stuttering and spitting, which gives the impression you don't know your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, yeah, maybe not, but I'm the one up 40%.
Right.
You know, so it's that type of stuff. And he allowed me to gain confidence knowing that that's okay. Not that I shouldn't improve on that. It's not, don't let your weaknesses drag you down. At least neutralize them, but don't try to turn them into your strengths. I'm never going to be the best at that. And an attempt to do so is just a waste of time. Now, I can be really good at other stuff because it comes naturally. And that's where I need to focus my energy.
You're already the winner over there.
Right.
He just wanted you to understand this side of it so that you felt confident when you were dealing with this side, but dealing as Rick.
Right. And one thing I go back, if I compared him to other coaches that I had, was it was very structured. It was almost like I took the coaching courses and here's the process we need to follow. And they were hired by the corporation. So the corporation would give them a mandate on what they thought an executive should be.
as coaches, whether I'm coaching, you know, I'm in the, let's call it the typical client, is drawing on their strengths and helping them to realize how to become the best that they want to be in whatever area that is.
Right, absolutely.
So that's the similarity, and just like being there unconditionally and seeing that person for what they can do, what they can achieve, and then posing powerful questions, you know, providing resources that make sense to them.
Right.
I'm gathering that if Carlos handed you a book and said, you need to read this, Rick, this will help you, that might not have been the best strategy.
No.
just from what I know from you.
No, that would just be the worst strategy.
So he knew you well enough that if he had some sort of resources, he knew that they would resonate with you.
Exactly. And so I guess what we're saying is, we look at what type of coach any individual will need, is who are you? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And if you are neurodiverse, I'm thinking logically that someone who understands that world, and not from a psychologist point of view, but from a I've lived it point of view, I've been successful with all these things that people would think are limitations, I've still managed to be successful, that I can help people understand. So how do you apply that stuff? Let's stop talking about it, and let's say, how do you really apply that and really have some serious conversations? Because the thing I loved about Carlos still was straight up.
Mm-hmm.
None of this, I don't want to hurt Rick's feelings. None of that
stuff.
So his
style?
Well, his style worked great with me. And now, don't get me wrong, he's not abrasive like I can be, but he certainly would make me listen. He had the ability to make me listen. Like, Rick, I do appreciate your point of view, but, you know, as opposed to, you know, so that type of dialogue, which mm-hmm. he got.
If right.
you're going to deal with someone who's neurodiverse, you need to talk to them in a certain way. Now, there's a gazillion of us neurodiverse, and there's all like variations of that, of course, right?
Right.
And you've got to know that. And that's what I'm saying, is that if you're one of those, I know, mid-level managers who has some sort of neurodiverse issues, you need to hopefully work with someone like me who can help you identify those, say, let's pick out the strengths. Now, how do you work with your strengths, develop your superpowers, neutralize those weaknesses? And obviously, you've got to still fit into the picture somewhat. You can't be this rebel all the time, you know, that sort of stuff. But it's a balance of that, but never giving go of what you're good at.
Right. And I'm going to back up just a little bit when you talked about he could talk to you like that.
Right.
And he did it in a kind way, or, you know, however, you know, it felt for you, is that agreement. So foundationally, because we were kind of like, you were telling me, you know, how you would approach it and no bullshit and stuff, which is, you know, needed. And so that agreement with the client to go, okay, here's who I am, here's who you are, how do we best work together? And just outline that to go, okay, this is going to be most effective for you and me as a coach. This is what I can offer you most effectively.
But there's where I think the difference comes again. Yes, of course, makes sense. Who could argue with that? The thing with the cocktail of neurodiversity that I have, which one is taking the forefront today?
Right.
What's happening in my life? Am I stressed out today? Am I calm? Is my ADHD up today? Is my dyslexia worse today? Is did I not sleep last night because of rumination? I mean, what's going on?
Right. And that could be part of the agreement. Let's say when you agree to work together, is like, okay, part of it is things could change day to day, session to session. Okay, great. I'm aware of that. So then
But it's not like, just being awareness. It's the...
And implementing it.
Yeah, but it's that sensitivity. Reading body language is a critical piece to managing people. Whatever.
No, but it's true. You read. You have to be able to read body language. I mean, I read you, you know. I read you. I know what's going on with you guys. And you need that, especially, I think, when you're dealing with someone that's neurodivergent, because it can change so fast. And I mean, they can be calm one minute. Like you said, then your ADHD takes over and all of a sudden, you know, you're bouncing off.
Maybe
the walls.
We need to go for a walk today.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, nothing is set in stone.
Well, it can't be, except to the fact that I'm going to take you from this level to that level.
The goal.
The goal, yeah. But the goal is not a straight line up.
No,
like it's not with anybody, no. Right? Because no. You're going to go try, you're going to fail, you're going to try, you're going to succeed, and based on that, you're going to change your approach.
I do have a question. I've been listening to the podcast. I'm enjoying it. You two are a hoot, and I'm just curious. So, if I'm listening to the podcast, or I know somebody that I think might need a coach, if I'm neurodiverse.
Right.
Just tell me, what can you offer?
I live my life looking at things, thinking it says one thing, but it said something else, reacting to that, sticking to my guns. Yet I had the ability to still be successful because of the other skills that I had developed. And I think that if you're like me, where you feel that you have all kinds of potential, I can help you get pointed in the right direction. I've lived it. For me, I learned to understand my strengths and my weaknesses. And I really think I can bring that to the party for someone else, and I can help them recognize those, can those kind of superpowers, and unleash them onto the world. I really do. I really do. Now, I'm not for everybody. You know?
No.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not for everybody. No. If you're like me, and you have what you think great potential, and you have these skills that, I mean, I'm being successful, and people look at me wondering why. Well, I can help you really take that to another level.
Great. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. So if I guess just an encouragement for people that are listening, it might not be you per se, but I'm sure our listeners know people that could definitely benefit from you. And so how would I connect somebody that I think, they might benefit from your coaching?
Well, just go on the website, atypicalleader.com, and there's a section there for coaching. Hit coaching, and you can talk to us directly, and let's get at her.
Bam.
So, Joyce, now that you've asked me those questions, who are the typical person that you should be coaching, and how would they get a hold of you?
The people that I love to coach are women that have come similarly to your clients to perhaps a crossroads or just, you know, I love how you described it. It's like they're wanting more and just not sure how to get there or not confident to get there on their own. And so just to be that person that's going to help them set their goals, encourage them, you know, provide resources and support for them to step into that. It could be educators, could be administrators within education, but it also could be entrepreneurs or business women, but focusing on women.
Right. And how do people get a hold of you?
joysonata@gmail.com is the best way.
Well, you better spell that.
Joy, J-O-Y. @sunada@gmail.com.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joyce, for being here. Good discussion. And I think I think everybody can benefit from a coach. I love the thing that you see now, coaching getting more particular to certain groups of people. And that's really what we're talking about. What type of coach is really going to help you be the best you can be? You know, from a success point of view, from a living life point of view to, you know, learning to relax and manage all the stresses of life and all that sort of stuff based on the way that your brain and your lifestyle kind of functions, right?
All right, sir. Anything else you want to add to
it? No, that's good. That was good. Actually, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really good. Really good. Okay. Ciao.
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 Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique. So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host, Judy Sims, on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity, on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.